Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Fools podcast. We're talking about week 13 going into week 14. There was a lot going on this week, huh? Some good games, some bad games, some bad injuries. I'm Jesse DeZoseo and Brandon. Hello.
I wasn't sure if you wanted me to answer or if
I was just like
waiting for a cue. Yeah. We're quite sure.
Yeah, chime in whenever you want. We are the Fantasy Football Fools podcast. TheFantasyFootballFools.com is our website, and Fantasy Fools Pod is our Twitter handle. Check us out, tweet at us, let us know what you think is going on in the fantasy world. Let's get right into it. We got a big show today. We're going to talk about the top five teams that we picked in the preseason. We're going to have a little game. And, of course, news, injuries, fantasy tops, all that good stuff, starting with injuries. There was a lot.
Oh, son of a... That's going to leave a mark.
A lot of injuries this week. Where do we start? I'm just going to go down the list here. But the big ones, a couple big ones here. Imar DiMercato.
Nope, not a big one.
No, but I mean, I guess not a big one. Okay. Amari Cooper? No?
Yeah, a little bigger.
All right. Head injury, ruled out.
Yeah, concussion for Amari Cooper.
There was a lot of concussions.
A lot of concussions, and for the most part, we've said people are missing at least one game. Well, there's a couple guys who came back this week and didn't miss a game. Chris Olave, for one, had one last week. He played this week. So not unheard of for them not to come back, but definitely something to monitor moving forward, as you know, 98% of the guys are missing at least one game.
Christian Watson, hamstring injury, did not return. Tank, I'm just going to keep going. You could stop me because there's a lot of them. Tank Dell, he fractured his fibula. He's out at least a couple weeks. They think maybe he'll be back by the end of the season. I don't know.
He's out for the year. He had surgery today.
Okay.
He's gone. I think it was his fibula or something like that. So he is done for the year. That's a big loss. I think he was probably the best rookie wide receiver we had this year. Super impressive on that Houston offense. So I'm curious to see kind of who steps up. Do we see Noah Brown again? Do we see Robert Woods step up? Obviously, Nico Collins steps into that number one receiver role that he's been most of the season. But Tank Dell, a big loss for the ascending Texans offense.
Isaiah Pacheco was not hurt, but he was ejected in the fourth quarter for throwing a punch. Just something that you might want to know. Tyler Higbee, concussion, did not return. Again, most concussions miss 1 week, so just monitor that. This week, moving forward, here's a big one. Ramondre Stevenson, ankle. It looked pretty bad.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that one didn't look good. He's definitely out for this week. They play Thursday night in what might be the worst.
I think it's a high ankle, too, which is bad.
Yeah, and yeah, it didn't look good at all. But, they play on Thursday and probably the worst game we've had in a long time. New England and Pittsburgh on Thursday, and Pittsburgh, I don't know, we talked about Kenny Pickett, he also got injured, so they'll be playing Mitch Trubisky. So I'm traveling Thursday, and I'm happy to miss that game for sure.
Derek Carr, there was like three different things he was out with or something, concussion and a shoulder and ribs, his back and his, I don't know, everything.
I feel like it's happened multiple times to him this year. I think he's had like multiple injuries. So.
Yeah. He's playing through some stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah, bring us Jameis.
Yeah, the only reason why he didn't miss a game in his first one is because it was a bye week. Yeah.
I think we see Jameis Winston this week, which is fun. So that'll be a lot of points for the Saints receivers, be a lot of points for the defense because they'll be intercepting a lot of passes. But Jameis always makes it interesting.
And Taysom Hill, probably a good play at tight end also. Who do we got? Kenny Pickett. We talked about Kenny Pickett. He is expected to miss this Thursday. Ankle injury for him. Mitch Trubisky came in, and he's going to be playing. We'll see what happens there. I'm not playing him, that's for sure. Is that it? I feel like I missed people.
There's one more. Brian Robinson Jr. He had a hamstring injury, which is pretty big, but he's a top five running back this year. So that's certainly a big one there. Antonio Gibson, Chris Rodriguez kind of filling in for them in the Washington backfield. But that was the only other one I saw.
And Zach Moss, too. What happened with Zach Moss? Something happened with Zach Moss. Yeah, I think he came back in, I believe, but he was banged up. And then Derrick Henry was out. He's out with a concussion. Did you see that hit?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's like, yeah, that's what you got to do to take him out.
Yeah, a big tree fall hard, yeah.
And then the worst injury of the week, the poor referee. Kamara ran into the ref and busted his leg. I think he broke his fibula and his knee was dislocated or something. It was pretty nasty looking. So shout out to you, ref. Hope you're getting better over there on the chain gang. Let's get into Fantasy Tops.
Awesome!
These guys were awesome this week. You wanted to play them, and hopefully you did. Quarterback of the week, Geno Smith. 36 fantasy points, 334 yards, 3 touchdowns, and another touchdown on the ground. Did you see that one coming against Dallas?
I don't think anybody did.
No, that's why I played their defense.
And then Brock Purdy, he's pretty good. Let's see what I did there. 35 fantasy points, 314 yards, 4 touchdowns. Yeah, he's been doing great. He just continues to do good stuff. Just give it to his playmakers, right? Easy peasy. You know, I saw something where, you know, they lost to, was it Philly in the NFC Championship last year?
Mm-hmm.
And Debo said in a podcast or something afterwards, if Brock Purdy was in, it wouldn't even be a contest. And there you have it. I mean, it kind of proved the point right there. So 49ers look really good. We'll talk about them when we get into the top five teams. Matthew Stafford and Dak Prescott bringing in number 3 at 29 fantasy points on the week. But number 4 right here, Jordan Love, 27 fantasy points, 267 and 3 against Kansas City. I didn't see that one coming either, did you?
Brandon's favorite.
Yeah, no, did not see that coming. He looked like a young Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers out there at Lambeau. No, it was a really impressive performance from him. You know, that Kansas City defense has been really solid all year. We've definitely talked about them before. But Jordan Love, the last few games, has certainly been a guy that has put up some big numbers. 22, 31, and 27 in his last 3 games. He hasn't thrown an interception, which has been huge as well. Just that young offense really coming together. But, you know, we mentioned the Christian Watson injury earlier. You wondered how that will affect them moving forward. But another pretty good matchup this week as they face the Giants.
And last but not least, number 5. And, you know, we record this on Monday, and we're watching the game. There's 8 minutes left in the game, and Trevor Lawrence has 26 fantasy points, 229 yards, 2 touchdowns, and another touchdown on the ground. And he's still going. He's had a couple great weeks too. 34 points, 27 points, 26 points. So he may be somebody to pick up, but he does have a couple tough matchups coming up. Wide receivers of the week, DK Metcalf and Debo Samuel, 32 points each, both 98% rostered. Who are those 2% that don't have them? I don't understand it. 134 and 3, 116 and 2, with another rushing touchdown for Debo. Those guys are great. You know, I had a trade offer earlier this year for DK Metcalf and Joe Mixon, and I would be giving up Derrick Henry. And when this happened, I was like, man, I should have taken it. But then Derrick Henry ran off, and then he got hurt. So I don't know. I'm still confused. Tyreek Hill, number 2, 28 fantasy points, 157 and 2. Nico Collins, there's a good guy that I had on my team. There's always one, right? Just one? 26 points, 191 and 1.
What's happening?
I'm just rattling this off. Nobody's saying anything.
Okay.
I'm just going down the list. You guys have anything to say?
Is this thing on?
No, look, these guys all, you know, do well. They have done well. Christian Watson, I guess, is the one on this list that's a little ways down that, you know, hasn't been doing great, but had a good week. No, nothing. No input. All right, we're going to move on to running backs,
I kind of got lost during that interruption, and then I was like, where were we? And then, yeah. So I was waiting for the next one. Go ahead.
Well, I just talked about it. Number one running back of the week, Derrick Henry, 24 fantasy points, and he got knocked out of the game. But he quickly had 102 yards and two touchdowns, and he was doing the Derrick Henry things, you know?
I didn't actually see that hit. So you guys were both talking about like, oh yeah, we saw it, but I didn't see it.
He went airborne and then he got like slammed. It's one of the things where it's like, if he's on the ground, you're not going to take him down. That's the only way you're going to take him down. And he got concussed from it. So he was out and he's probably going to miss a week because you know how concussions go. Although if there's anybody who can get back, it's Derrick Henry. So
we're pulling it up here so he can take a look at it here.
You can hear
LSU's. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
It's the only way to knock him down is like when he's in midair.
Yeah. And shot right to the temple.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the other thing.
Chuba Hubbard and James Conner, 23 points each. Those were interesting this week. And they're against the Tampa Bay, which is a good defense.
Yeah. Chuba Hubbard, definitely the main running back in Carolina. He's certainly taken over for Miles Sanders there. 25 carries this week. He had 14 a week ago, 5 catches. Usually catches the ball in the backfield too. Didn't have to this week again. 25 carries, 104 yards, 2 touchdowns. Big game for him as they kind of try to figure out what they are moving forward. So I think we'll see a lot more Chuba Hubbard, and he looks like the main running back in Carolina.
Devon Achane, your boy, 22 fantasy points, 73-2. He's back. Did not get injured.
No, and he's a guy that every game that I think he start and finished, he's been an absolute monster. I mean, he's played a total of 4 games in their entirety, minus the injuries. He scored 51, 24, 21, and then 22 this week. So just a threat to score every time. I think he has 9 touchdowns on like 67 touches or something. So, definitely a threat on that offense. And I think he's going to start eating more and more into Raheem Mostert's workload. So I think you're going to see him start to come down a little bit while Achane gets more work.
And then Alvin Kamara, 22 fantasy points as well, 51 and 2, another 58 through the air. You played him, and it was against me.
Yeah, and he did really good. The thing there is there's no receivers. They're all hurt, right? I mean, Olave played, and he'll play next week too, so that's good. But I thought they were actually going to use the tight end spot a lot more, and not at all. They didn't use it at all. So it was all Kamara and Olave. But now Derek Carr is in concussion protocol again, so we'll see what that is. If it's Jameis, then I don't know if Kamara's going to do well again because he likes to sling it. So,
Yeah, he's not a big check down guy.
Yeah.
So I think his catches certainly go down next week if Derek Carr's not in.
Tight ends, another guy you play. So that was Kamara's best game of the season, by the way. And it was,
Well, he's been getting better and better since he came, he missed, 3 games at the beginning? And he had a slow kind of start. And then lately he's been picking it up.
Yeah. My point was you were playing me and he had his best game of the season. So. Also, who had their best game of the season? Sam Laporta. You played him against me as well. 21 fantasy points, 140 yards and a touchdown. He looked really good. Detroit was just slinging the ball to him nonstop. 9 targets, 9 receptions.
Yeah, he's the best of the rookie tight end class that we were, touting all preseason. So he's been the best guy of those guys. But there's a lot of really good young tight ends. We're going to get to a few more of them here shortly. But the tight end pool was dead to start the year. Now I think there's a lot of serviceable guys that you're comfortable playing. So I think the days of Kelce and everybody else, that gap has closed. If you look at the overall standings, there's about 4 or 5 guys that are all within, 2 or 3 points of each other. So I think the tight end options are just getting, so many more guys that are valuable options to play.
And Sam Laporta, I think, has the opportunity to break records for a rookie tight end. I don't know all the stats, but I did hear that recently. Trey McBride, number 2, 14 points, 89 yards, and a touchdown. He's another one in Arizona. They just keep throwing him the ball. He's doing good things.
Another guy, second-year tight end, Trey McBride. Looks like he's Kyler's favorite weapon. He had all that in a really weird, weathery two weather delays in Pittsburgh yesterday. Bad weather, still was able to come out with that performance. So, again, Trey McBride, another promising young tight end.
Then Jake Ferguson, 13 points, 77 and 1. All these guys, 9 receptions, 8 receptions, and 6 for Ferguson. So that's kind of the key right there. They're being targeted. They're catching the ball, and they're getting the yardage. And with that, usually comes a touchdown.
So is Kelsey still the leader in points, like overall leader in tight ends?
I can
look at this earlier. Yeah, I think he is. I think he's like a point better than. So Kelsey's at 109 for the year. Laporta 107, Hawkinson 106, Kittle 103. So that gap last year was like 67.
It was points. Yeah. I was supposed to say. So are all these guys, like these coming up guys, are they like that good, or is like Kelsey and the Chiefs not as good this year?
I mean, here's the thing. They're good right now, but we have seen offenses change drastically from one season to another. So you kind of don't know what's going to happen next season. But I think Sam Laporta has the talent. I think Jake Ferguson has the talent. I think they all can be that good. It just depends on how the offense goes.
No, but like it also in general, like is Kelsey, like is he going at a slower pace than he did last year? Himself?
Oh yeah, yeah. Kelsey has not looked as good
he's
this
not
year.
As good, yeah.
I think he's distracted a little bit.
Yeah, so I think it's definitely a combination of both. I think the gap has closed certainly between Kelsey and everybody else, but Kelsey's the guy you know, right? You know what you're going to get out of him, and so that's like the steady component that there's not really anybody else at tight end that can do that. But now that we have guys like Laporta, all the guys like Hawkinson, I guess that was a good return on investment there. Kittle, again, good return on investment as well. So you have those guys, you kind of know what you're getting, but then there's this younger crop of guys next year that I think you'll start to see kind of widen that pool. So I think Kelsey's still Kelsey until something changes, but there's just more of guys that are closer to him now, where I think you might start to see him fall down draft boards as he's not as valuable a first round pick as he was a few years ago.
And I think there's something to say about the defense in Kansas City being so much better. Because they don't have to, play offense as much. I feel like they can do it if they need to, but they don't need to because their defense is getting it done. So we're watching the game here. And
breaking news.
Brandon just pointed at the screen. And Trevor Lawrence is hobbling to the locker room. And he was my only chance. I needed like 4 more touchdowns, though. So it's probably wasn't going to happen. But
got his ankle stepped on, it says.
I am definitely out of the playoffs with my loss this week. So, good luck to you two in our league.
I need it.
Well, he's the next one out.
Like he's clinched already. So,
all right. Moving on to kicker Dustin Hopkins. No, I'm looking at the yearly. I went to the yearly because we were talking about the yearly tight end. But week 13, kicker of the week was Brandon Aubrey from the Dallas Cowboys. Got you 15 fantasy points. Good job, Brandon. Defense of the week. Got two of them. Took the top spot. The Chargers against the New England Patriots. That game was horrendous.
That shouldn't have even been televised, honestly.
So I was watching Red Zone, and I don't think I saw one clip.
Yeah,
that
no,
game
they never.
Neither team was ever in the red zone. So.
And Indy at Tennessee both got 19 fantasy points. So there you go. Those were the good guys, and here are the not so good guys.
You blew it.
Fantasy face plants of the week: Patrick Mahomes, 11 fantasy points. Not where you usually play. We just talked about it. Kansas City not doing what they need to do.
I think he's another guy, and again, it kind of goes with what we talked about with Travis Kelce, that he's just hasn't had the year that you were expecting, right? He was like a lock top three quarterback, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Patrick Mahomes. And those other two guys have been in the top scoring this season. And he's not. I'm trying to pull up the numbers real quick on where he's at. He hasn't been terrible. He's number 5 overall, 249 points, but Josh Allen, 319, Hurts, 288. So those three were all getting drafted, sequentially, right in order, all together, and he's definitely been the worst of the three by far. So he's returned kind of the least back on his draft capital.
So you were just a year early then, right? Was it last year where you were like, oh, no, they Super Bowl hangover?
I think so.
Right? That was last year. Yeah. Where you're like, oh, no, he's like the Chiefs are going to not be good. And he's the good. Yeah.
I mean, he's going to drop because he only has 11 points this week. And Brock Purdy has, he's right behind him. He has 35 points this week. So he's going to drop at least one spot. Tua may even pass him up. I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know if he's going to finish in the top eight at the end of the year. We'll see. He has another tough matchup next week, I believe.
Wait, aren't these the scores for the week?
I have the season up.
Yeah, the season.
Yeah, I think it's up to date.
Yeah, I think that includes this week.
Right.
Oh, it does? It's
yeah.
In there. Oh, okay.
Again, they're super
I thought
close.
It updated on Tuesday.
Like he's 3 points ahead of CJ Stroud, which kind of says a lot, too, you know.
So, wide receiver, Keenan Allen, 5 points. That game was also horrible. We'll talk about another person from that team in a minute. Terry McLaurin, 0 points.
No catches. On a team that throws the ball more than anybody in the league, and a team that they got blown out by Miami by 30, so they were throwing all game too, and still no catches.
Austin Eckler, 1 fantasy point.
Is he the biggest at this point in time? Is he the biggest
bust?
Bust.
He was on this list yet last week. He had 4 fantasy points, and he was on it the week before with 4 fantasy points. So possibly, and he was on my team. So I'm going to say he's the biggest bust because my team's a bust
right
now.
I think it's close on, and he was injured for a few weeks, right? He missed a few weeks because of injury, but the games.
Well, let's be honest. He's still injured or something's going on.
Right, but the games where if he's injured, you're obviously not playing him, right? I think a bust of you're playing him and he's still not producing. He has been doing that for almost, the entire season. So, yeah, he had a nice stretch, 15, 18, 16, kind of in the middle there. But, 5-4, 4-4, 1. In the weeks around that. So, I would say, first round pick, RB, two or three off the board. Definitely, minus, the guys that guys like Nick Chubb that were injured or Jefferson that have been injured, the guys that you've had to play, I think certainly he's been probably the biggest bust this year.
Breece Hall, 3 fantasy points. Did you play him?
No, he's on my bench.
That's good. That's good.
I've played him some of this season and him and I have Garrett Wilson also, and it's just, I can't play that Jets offense. It's just so hard to watch. And it's it's a miracle if they get a first down, let alone produce actual fantasy points. And I have them in another league too, both of those same two guys. And again, the hope was that with Rodgers, they'd be great. If they had a competent quarterback, I think they would be. And this is going to be a little sidetracked, but I don't know if you guys watched the Browns-Rams game. Joe Flacco played quarterback for the Browns. He looked awesome.
He did.
He pushed the ball down the field. He threw the crap out of the ball. Where was he when the Jets were looking for him? He was on the Jets last season. Could you imagine how different their season could be with a competent quarterback like Joe Flacco? What are they doing?
He looked rusty only because he was throwing the ball, he was out throwing the receivers by a lot,
Yeah.
And some of them were out of bounds too, but he was really getting it out there and he looked fine. He looked normal.
He had great arm strength. Yeah. Like we said, he's pushing the ball down the field. He finished 23 of 44, 254 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's better than what the Jets have done all season long. So, I'm really surprised he wasn't in the mix for them.
Zach Moss, 5 fantasy points. You expected more from him. Jonathan Taylor, is he having surgery?
Yeah, he had surgery on his thumb or something. He's supposed to miss a few more weeks, but he should be back for probably the fantasy playoffs.
All right, let's talk about this next week, week 14. We have 2 teams on bye, the Arizona Cardinals and the Washington Commanders. And who do we have for some waiver wire pickups? Let's see here. Quarterback Joe Flacco. We just talked about him. He is 0.7% rostered. And you know what? He may be somebody who can help you in the championship.
He'll be better next week than he was this week.
Yeah, and they're actually playing the Jaguars, who are watching right now, and Jake Browning's had a monster game. So, maybe backup quarterbacks can go crazy against the Jags.
So look for him. Joshua Dobbs, 59% rostered, but check for him. I know he had a rough week, but he's still a pretty good quarterback all in all. Matthew Stafford, 43% rostered. Who do they play next week?
They play Baltimore, so tough matchup him. But they played Cleveland this week, and he was good. So, it'd be very interesting to see what that looks like. But, he's if he has Kupp and he has Nacua, they definitely have a chance to be elite offensively. So I don't mind him too much.
And then Baker Mayfield has been pretty consistent throughout the season. He's not really a boom or bust, but he's just kind of consistent play, in my opinion. And then I'll put one more in there. Desmond Ridder. I know you don't really want to play Desmond Ridder, but I can see him developing. I see some of the throws looking better and better. Still wouldn't be my first option, but something to look for in deeper leagues there. Running backs, Chuba Hubbard. We talked about it. He's the guy in Carolina. He's getting a lot of the work. He's had two straight games with 20-plus fantasy points. So, I mean, somebody who you should have on your roster. He's only 55% rostered right now. And then Keaton Mitchell, still 19% rostered. He's been up and down, back and forth. Hurt, not hurt. I don't know what's going on over there. But at Baltimore backfield, what are you doing?
Same thing. You're not really sure. Gus Edwards getting the touchdowns. Keaton Mitchell, kind of the big play guy. They're off a bye, so I'd be curious to see what their offense looks like coming out now, see if they mix anything up, see what they're trying to do for the playoff stretch here. Again, he's the big play guy. If you're chasing points or need, you know, he's more likely to get 20, but he's also more likely to get two. So I think you're not going to get six or eight from him. You're going to get a big game or you're going to get a terrible game.
Tyjae Spears, Tennessee. We talked about Derrick Henry. Concussed, may miss this game. If he does, then Spears is a good play.
Yeah, Spears was the backup. He came in when Henry came out. He ended up with 16 carries for 75 yards, so he's been really good. The problem is Tennessee plays Monday night, so hard to trust. If you're picking up Spears and you don't have Henry, hard to know whether or not he's going to go, having to wait till the last game of the week.
And then Ezekiel Elliott. Ramondre's looks like he's going to be out, and Zeke, this may be his chance.
And Zeke was questionable going into this weekend, I believe.
Something to monitor.
Again, Ramondre's not going to play. Zeke did come in, got 17 carries. He was in contention for my balls to the wall. He's not going to be my balls to the wall, but he was definitely in contention, but I don't want anything to do with that boring, gross Thursday night game.
0 points. Antonio Gibson, 40% rostered. Check him out as well. Brian Robinson did have that injury. Wide receivers, Elijah Moore, 15%. Look at this. You get a quarterback, and now wide receivers are on this list as well.
Yeah, and it also helped having Amari Cooper get hurt. But, he definitely had a connection with Joe Flacco. It goes back to them both being on the Jets last year. They've played together before. But 4 catches, 83 yards on 12 targets for Elijah Moore this week with Joe Flacco. So again, double check that Joe Flacco is still starting. They may go back to Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who had a concussion. So we will see.
Curtis Samuel is only 14% rostered. We talked about Washington airing the ball out quite a bit. And Samuel leads the trio of Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson with an average of 11.4 fantasy points per game. So somebody who could be a sneaky play moving forward into these.
Yeah, they are on bye, as you mentioned, so not a play for this week, but definitely following that. He's the receiver you want out of the Washington receivers.
And that's kind of the sneaky part, is if you can pick him up now and stash him, then maybe worth it. Jonathan Mingo, getting better and better, 2% rostered. So check him out. And tight ends. Isaiah Likely, you picking him up?
No.
Silence. Not Likely.
No. No, I mean, like, the first time he was going to start a couple weeks ago, I was like, all right, here we go. This is, you know, it seems like he was pretty much guaranteed the role, like, with a lot of action, but because that's what happened last time. But then he played, and he hasn't really gotten any looks, really, anything, you know, important, so.
It's tough. I mean, tight end is tough. You got Gerald Everett from the Chargers. I don't know. Kate Otten, the Bucks. You just got to go out there and kind of play the matchups and
see. A dart throw.
Yeah, dart throw. There you go. And then defenses to take a look at, the Colts this week and the Texans.
So sorry, just to talk about the Colts, they've actually been really good. I was looking for, I'll need a defense next week because Dallas has a bad matchup. So I started doing some research on them. Now I, of course, cannot pull this up. They've scored, I think they've been in double figures the last, like, 5 weeks or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is terrible.
They've scored 69 fantasy points with double digits in all four outings versus the Panthers, the Patriots, the Bucks, and the Titans. So yeah, they're rolling. And
who are they playing?
Sorry, the last 4 weeks, 27, 16, 11, and 19. They play Cincinnati this week, which looked better before watching this game tonight. But then they have Pittsburgh and Atlanta and Vegas to finish it out. So you could do a lot worse if you do need a defense for the rest of the season.
All right. That's what we got for fantasy waiver wire pickups. Now, let's play a little game, shall we?
Want to play a game?
The wrong season.
All right, I played a little game here. We were talking about quarterbacks earlier. This is Mahomes versus Stroud. So I'm going to give you I'm going to say something, and you tell me if Mahomes or Stroud has more of these touchdowns. This is on the season.
I'm going to say Stroud.
Stroud.
Mahomes 21, Stroud 19. Pretty close. Yards.
Stroud.
Stroud.
29-17 for Mahomes, 32-66 for Stroud. Sacks.
Stroud.
Yeah, Stroud.
Not even close. Mahomes 14, Stroud 26.
Yeah.
Interceptions.
I'm going to say Mahomes. Stroud had the stretch for a while where he didn't throw any, but I think it's close.
I'll say Stroud.
Stroud only 5, Mahomes 9. Mm. Fantasy points on the season.
I think we just said it.
Yeah,
it
we just
Mahomes
said it.
By like 2 points or something.
Yeah, 236 for Mahomes, 233 for Stroud.
Yeah.
Fumbles lost. Yeah, I know. You're getting into ridiculous
Stroud.
Now.
Yeah, Stroud.
Stroud 4 to Mahomes is 2. Rushing touchdowns.
Stroud again.
Yeah, I know he has at least 2.
Stroud has 3.
3, yeah.
How many does Mahomes have?
I don't know if he has any.
0.
Yeah.
And rushing yards.
I still think it's Stroud. Mahomes.
Stroud 132, Mahomes 305. Mm. So, I mean, but it's super close, and it kind of shows you Mahomes, the OG versus Stroud, this new young money coming into the league here. One more. We're going to go to receiver right here. Jamar Chase versus Tank Dell. Yards.
Tank.
Tank Dell.
914 for Chase, 709 for Dell.
Oh.
Touchdowns.
Dell.
Dell.
7 for Dell, 6 for Chase. Fantasy points.
Dell.
Dell, yeah.
116 for Dell, 127 for Chase. Rushing yards. Oh, jeez. Receiver rushing yards.
Dell.
I'll say Chase.
Dell has 51. Chase has -6. Oh. games with 20-plus fantasy points.
Oh, Dell.
Dell.
Yeah, 3 for Dell, 1 for Chase. So there you go. I mean, these rookies, this is the time in the season where they're really starting to you know, come into their own, and we're getting to see what's going to happen next year with these guys. So fun little game right now. And let's go into the top 5 teams and who we said they were going to be at the beginning of the season, and then kind of where we are right now. So let me go through where we are right now, according to the power rankings here. We'll start at 10 and see if you guys agree with these. 10, they have Seattle Seahawks at number 10. This is from like a USA Today. 9, Buffalo Bills at 6-6. 8, Kansas City Chiefs, 8-4. 7, Detroit Lions. 6, the Jaguars. 5, Miami Dolphins.
I would put the Lions above the Jaguars. Continue.
Okay. 5, Dolphins. 4, Eagles.
4? Wow.
Yeah. Cowboys, 3.
Mm.
Ravens, 2.
Is this USA Today or did Jesse write this? Okay, top
and
5.
And Niners, number 1.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, yeah, I don't think there's any disputing number 1.
Yeah, number 1.
Yeah.
Wow, so, Eagles at 4. Okay.
So let's see here. So we have, I want to talk about a couple things. So I'm the only one who had Dallas in the top five. Do you think they should be in the top five?
I do, actually. I think they've been very, very good.
It's not that they don't deserve to be there. It's more the fact that they always choke, you know? So it's like they're good, and they'll provide fantasy at some point, but like...
Yeah, let's see Dak in a playoff.
Yeah, which I guess that's more real football, you know, than... But I also feel like they've been really good lately. So people are like, oh, right, they're good. Why did we ever question them? But if you look a little bit further back, there's a reason why everybody was like, oh, no, they're trash.
Oh, so you had Kansas City at number five. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, they're still good, but their receivers are turning into the old Green Bay receivers. So that's a problem. They're not going to win a Super Bowl like that. So I still think five is good for them.
Good old Brick Hands.
Because what did that article you just said was like they had them at eight or something? Seven,
I think,
or
they're
eight?
At eight, yeah.
Yeah, so five, you know.
Let's listen in here and see what Brandon's number five pick was.
My number five team is the Cleveland Browns.
That's not
the
even
NFC
close.
North champion, man. Cleveland Browns.
I don't know. I mean, they were doing bad and now they're doing good again. So what do you think?
I don't think it was terrible, right? It was like everything had to work out perfectly. The defense has been as expected. Obviously, Deshaun Watson's not playing. He wasn't what we thought he was, but that was with the idea that he would be the elite quarterback that we've seen from him in Houston before. But again, the fact that they're still in playoff contention without a quarterback and with some other key injuries, I think says a lot. Again, that's a bold pick, and I don't think it was completely off base considering that they would be in the playoffs if they started today in the AFC.
LSA, you and me both had Cincinnati at number three. Brandon did not have Cincinnati in his top five. That seems to be the right pick.
See, and Cleveland's been better than Cincinnati.
Cincinnati gets, like, they got to the same slow start as last year, and Joe Burrow was injured, and so it was an even worse, like a slower start. And so that's what was happening. And right when they started like picking it up and started getting good and caught fire, Burrow's out again. And so that's been the season for them, you know? It's like healthy, I think they would have continued to win, and they definitely would have made, at the very least, a wild card. But now, you know, there's nothing you can do about injuries, man. So I still feel pretty good about the pick because of the team that they are with Joe Burrow when he's healthy.
All of us had San Francisco at number two. Were we right or were we wrong?
Wrong.
We were spot off.
They were spot off.
Yeah, they're the number one team for sure. You and me also had one team at number one, and Brandon had a different one. We both had Philly. Let's listen into Brandon's number one team here.
Number one, Buffalo Bills. This is the year. Yeah.
You think it's the year still?
It's going to be a little harder of a year. I think they're better than their 6-6 record. They've also had injuries on defense, which has really drastically changed the season for them. Yeah, obviously, you know, I thought this would be the year, but, you know, they're not quite as good as I thought they would be. But, yeah, bold picks, and they got a lot of work to do just to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and then a couple that none of us had was the Miami Dolphins. Where do you think they rank? I know here they have them at number five. Do they deserve number five? They're 9-3. Granted, they've played a lot of easy teams, but they have a pretty high octane offense.
They do. So I think they're a team that, if I'm trying to look at it right now, and I don't know if this is a part of the exercise or we're going to pick our top five teams right now, but I don't know. The AFC, I think, is completely wide open. So you obviously you have Miami, right? Buffalo's on the outside looking in, but then you have Baltimore, who's probably the best team in the AFC, but I'm not completely sold on what we've seen from Lamar. Jacksonville, who's struggling right now with the Cincinnati Bengals, look like this game might be headed to overtime. And then you have Kansas City, again, who blew a game last night against Green Bay. So I think it's wide open, which is really fun. So I think Miami does have a chance, but I'm not sold on their defense because the games that they've lost this year have been against teams who are just flat out better, teams that are talented. Their losses this year are at Buffalo, they got smashed by 28. They lost at Philadelphia by 14, and they lost against the Chiefs. So they haven't been good against the elite teams. So I don't know that they can stack you know, three wins in a row in the playoffs to get to that point. But yeah, the offense is difficult, but I just don't think they can win three tough games come January.
Yeah, I see that. And then another one none of us had is the Baltimore Ravens, 9-3. They're ranked number two on here. And they're kind of a forgettable team, to be honest with you. If I were to tell you my top five teams, I wouldn't think of that. We were just talking about this before the podcast, is that the AFC, like, who's it going to be from the AFC? It's going to be Cowboys, San Francisco, and Philly. One of those is going to make it to the Super Bowl, you would think, right, in theory, because they're really good teams. And it's probably going to be San Francisco. So who is it going to be from the AFC? That's the question.
And I think that maybe I'm wrong. You guys can check me. But Baltimore seems to be the only team that hasn't, like, lost a game in, like, an embarrassing fashion, right? Or, like, to somebody that they shouldn't have lost to.
So they have three losses. They came to the Colts by three, Steelers by 7, Browns by 2. So they haven't been blown out in any games, but those are also not great teams either,
yeah,
that they've
okay.
lost to. But yeah, I think Baltimore's probably the, if I had to pick a team right now, it's Baltimore, but this is also where I'm like, let's say, and I know that I had them number one, so this is kind of out there, but if Buffalo gets in, they have a chance, right? Like, there's no dominant team in the AFC.
Yeah.
I think that's the fun thing about this division. It is completely wide open. It's usually been Kansas City and then everybody else the last few years, but this year it just, if you get in, you've got a shot.
Yeah.
So
I think if Buffalo does make it in, I think they're gonna upset some people, because I think they are, like, they're veterans. They have the experience. They've been in that spot, you know.
Yeah, that's a team you don't want to play.
Yeah, that's gonna be the team that, like, when you see the bracket, you're like, oh crap, I don't want to play.
And again, right now they're on the outside looking in. They're 6-6, but the seventh seed that gets in is 7-5. So they're one game out essentially at this point. And the teams above them are Indy, Houston, Denver, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. Like, we're gonna see some of these teams start to fade. I think Pittsburgh falls out. They're the 5 seed right now. Cleveland hasn't looked good. They're the 6 seed. Indy, do you trust Gardner Minshew? Houston, who knows, right? That's a young team. And Denver, do you trust Russell Wilson? Like, I don't know. So I think you're gonna see Buffalo. Again, they've got a tough schedule to finish it out. So they've got to earn it. But I don't think that they're completely out of it. And like we said, they're a team you don't want to face if you're one of those, you know, higher seeds and you have to go play them in the first round.
All right, let's pick our new top five teams at this point in the season. And this is pretty late in the season here. So we'll see who's going to come out on top, at least what we think. You want me to start it off, or you
sure.
want to?
Okay.
All right, my number five team is the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, they've been kind of up and down, but they've been there before. They know what it takes to get there. And I think that they have, I know they need some receivers, but they have enough weapons that they can get it done. And Mahomes is a weapon himself. And I think you're going to start to see them ramp it up a little bit here. They are number five, so, you know, they're not the best, but
I think you're just trying to copy me.
Copy? I'm going first.
I mean, from my last pick, because it was so good.
Well, your next pick was Buffalo, and that is not mine. My number four is, and again, without, like, kind of doing research and looking at these teams, I wouldn't have picked this one, but I think Baltimore is number four. I think that they're a sneaky good team, and they just get it done. They're just overall, they're not great on offense, they're not great on defense, they're not bad on one, they're just kind of overall a good team, and they just, you know, do what it takes to get those games won. And I think that it's not going to look pretty, maybe, but they'll get there. Number three, Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, you'd think they'd be higher, but, you know, I think that they, Hurts is a little banged up. I don't know if that's going to continue. They have what it takes, but I think there's a couple teams that are better than them. Number two, the Dallas Cowboys went up to number two. They have a heck of an offense and a heck of a defense. And if those are both playing great, then they can definitely beat any team. I know that they have lost to San Francisco, I think, already. But my number one team is San Francisco 49ers. They are just ridiculously good this year, and I think that they're probably going to win the Super Bowl. Shout out to a couple honorable mentions that were probably going to be my number 6 and 7 is the Houston Texans and Detroit Lions. Yeah, they're up there that high, but I think that they have kind of an X factor to both those teams.
Houston, wow, number 6 or 7, impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to go next, or do you want me to go next? Okay, so I'll go. I'm going to go the other way and make this a little easier. So number one, yeah, San Francisco for sure. They, you know, put the smack on Philly last game. So they're no doubt, I think we all will have them at number one. Number two, I think I would still take Philly. I know they got blown away last game, but again, they've been there before. They have the cheat code of the tush push, the Philly special, the brotherly shove, whatever you want to call it. So I think I still put them at number two. I think I'm in agreement. I have Dallas number three. I think from what we've seen of their offense, again, we've got to see it in the playoffs to buy in, but I think they have enough weapons to really make things interesting. So again, the top three teams I have from the NFC at the moment. Number four, I'm going to put Kansas City at four. I don't love anybody in the AFC, but I think it's still theirs to lose. I still think, you know, you take Mahomes in those huge games over anybody else. And then number five... Gosh.
On the fly.
Yeah, I think I would take Baltimore at number five. I don't love that either, but I think they can run the ball. I think Lamar's good enough to make things happen and to make, you know, extra plays out of nothing. The defense has been really good this year too. So I think they're just solid. And then you throw in Justin Tucker too in kind of tight games. He's a guy you want on your side. So I think I have the same five teams, just a different order. And then my sixth team would be Miami again, just on the strength of that unique offense.
Man, I was just getting ready to go, and you just messed me up. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, how did I leave that team out of my top five? So,
Baltimore, oof. Right? See, I'm telling you, they're forgettable.
No, not Baltimore. No.
Oh, Miami?
Standings.
Who's it going to be? The Raiders.
No, it was Miami that I was like, how did I?
Yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of good teams.
Okay. I'm good.
Go for it.
I was going to add Miami, and I looked at my list, and I'm like, I can't fit them in. And what sucks is if I did put them on here, it would be at number five, and my number five is Dallas. I just think that, like, Miami can be stopped. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I said they couldn't be stopped, and now I'm like, oh, no, they definitely have a weakness, you know? So if you can, like, if the Dallas defense is good, so if they can play like they normally play, they'll be able to stop Miami. You know, they just have to, like, score or, like, at least give the offense a chance to keep up with them, you know?
I agree. I think, sorry, just not to jump in, I would have had them higher had they, well, what I saw Thursday night against Seattle was, like, scary. That's a team that hadn't been good, and they just exploded for 35 points. Yeah. Now, Dallas still won. They outscored them with 41, but the defense got shredded.
So Dallas is my number five. Number four, I have Kansas City. It's still Mahomes, you know, and he can always make it happen. You know, sometimes you're like, how is he doing it? Because obviously his receivers aren't getting it done. So he finds a way, man. And so, yeah, Kansas City at number four, moving up from my number five. Number three is going to surprise you guys. I have Buffalo, like we were talking about. If it's funny because, like, they're my number three if they make the playoffs, right. Which sounds ridiculous. But I do think they make the playoffs. And like we said, it's a dangerous team in the playoffs. And so I have them at number three because I think that even though they have a few difficult games coming up, they still make the playoffs and they win at least a couple games. So they're my number three. And number two, Philly. They've been the second most dominant team up to now. And they're not playing as good. We talked about it, I think, last week. They haven't been as good as they were last year, but they're still plenty good. So they're my number two. And my number one, just like everybody else, San Francisco. Yeah, probably the Super Bowl champs this year.
All right. There you have it. Maybe we'll come back at the end of the season and see how that all panned out. Let's get into the weekly matchups that we had last week. So... we were, Brandon, you were 20-25 with a losing record. And you and me all say we're 24-21. And that will definitely change today. So we had Seattle at Dallas. Dallas by 7.5 points. Dallas won 41-35, not by 7.5 points. You both picked Dallas. I said, you know what? I'm going to pick Seattle. And I won. Then we had Denver at Houston. Houston by 3 points. We all picked Houston. And they won by 4 points. Was it four or five? 5 points. But we all won that one. And then we had Miami at Washington. Miami by 9.5 points. And we all picked Miami. And they won by like 30 points. So we all won that one as well. Boring, right? This one's a little bit more fun. San Francisco at Philadelphia. You both picked San Francisco. It was San Francisco by one. And I said, I'll pick Philly to go against you. And that was the wrong pick because San Francisco destroyed them 42-19. So you guys get the point there. And then Cleveland at the LA Rams. Rams by 4.5. You both pick Rams. And I said, I'll go against you and pick Cleveland. Cleveland 19, Rams 36. So maybe I shouldn't go against you as much as...
I like when you do that, man. You can keep going.
We ask for it all the time.
I was 3-2 this week. You were both 4-1, which means, Brandon, you're still losing at 24-26.
Don't call it a comeback.
I have 27-23, and Eliseo 28-22, but not for long. Let's get into this week's matchups. We have Minnesota at Las Vegas, the game everyone's talking about. Minnesota 6-6, Vegas 5-7. Minnesota by 3, over under is 40.5. Who do you got?
Are they in Vegas?
They're in Vegas, Minnesota by 3.
Started off with our leader here.
Oh, man. The Raider defense has been playing good, you know. The offense has been, not great, but they can score a couple touchdowns. And then we just witnessed the fall of the Pastrnak, which is interesting. This actually, I think, going to be a close, like a few weeks ago, I would have just said Minnesota, no problem. But this is probably going to be a lot closer than people think. So I'm going to take the Raiders.
All right. Oh, to me? Yeah, man. I like Josh Dobbs. I think he's great. I think he could do great things. I think he's going to be on a rampage, on a comeback. He's going to want to prove himself. He's going to want to get back up to those other worlds up there, Pastrnak-ing. But like you said, the Raider defense has been good, and Max Crosby is just a beast. I think he's going to, keep it interesting. And the Raiders are coming off a bye, and they really want, they have something going. I think I'm going to pick the Raiders as well.
Oh, should I go against you guys? Maybe, yeah. Who are we going to get at quarterback? Is it going to be Josh Dobbs that we've saw in Arizona in the first couple of weeks in Minnesota? Do we get the guy who struggled last week? Yeah, this is a tough one. I don't like taking Minnesota on the road -3, but I'm going to do it anyways. I need to get some games back. So give me Minnesota -3. Let's go.
All right, next game, Indianapolis at Cincinnati. What's the score here? Oh, it's still tied.
Overtime.
So we don't know. It's overtime right now. We don't know what Cincinnati's record is. Indy's 7-5. Cincy's either going to be 6-6 or 5-7. But the line currently is Indianapolis by 2.5 points, over under 40.5. Brandon?
Sure.
Or me?
Are
we going
you.
This way? Well, yeah, all right, we're going this way. All right. Okay. Well, just watching this game right now, since he's looking better against the Jacksonville Jaguars, Indy has a pretty good defense. Indy's been looking better lately. I don't trust Cincinnati with the new, what's his name? I don't even know the quarterback's name.
Jake Browning.
Doesn't sound good. Sounds like it's Browning. I'm going to go with Indianapolis. By two, and they're going to get 3 points at least. Win by 3, Indy.
Okay. Well, you said it sounds like it's Browning. I think it sounds like brownies. I like brownies. Give me Cincinnati. I'll take Cincinnati +2.5. I liked what I've seen tonight. Browning has moved the ball well against Jacksonville all night. They started the game slow, throwing screens and things behind the line of scrimmage. Now he's pushing the ball down the field. They got great weapons in T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. At home, yeah, I'm going to take them coming off this win to beat Indy. So give me Cincinnati and +2.5 all day. I'll take Cincinnati.
Yeah, watching this game, I'm in agreement with Brandon. I'm like, at first I kind of wrote off this team, but now I'm like, oh no, this is still the team. And the quarterback, I mean, you know, a week of practice and look at the difference, you know? Yeah, I think that I'm going to also go with Cincy because the Jaguars, like, they've looked good at times, but when they're playing against good teams, they also kind of just feel like they choke a little bit or they stall out a little bit. So, yeah, give me Cincy.
All right, Jacksonville at Cleveland. Jacksonville is either going to be 9-3 or 8-4 after this game. Cleveland's 7-4, believe it or not, and currently Jacksonville is favored by 3 points, yeah. Over and under of only 37.5.
Yeah, this is tough. I'm not sure what the injury to Trevor Lawrence is going to be, so definitely, you know, plays into it here, but I'm going to take Jacksonville -3. I think it's a game they need to have. I think they can score more points than Cleveland can. I'm kind of banking on Cleveland going back to Dorian Thompson-Robinson. If I knew it was going to be Joe Flacco and if I knew Trevor Lawrence was out, I might feel differently. But again, it's Monday. We're not really sure. We're taking our chances. So give me Jacksonville in this game -3 on the road.
Jose.
Yeah, this is a tough one. It's because of all those unknown factors in this, you know, but short and sweet, I will also take Jacksonville. I think they're a better team in, you know, overall than Cleveland. So, I mean, you know, so then even without a quarterback, I think they're better.
I don't even have to go against you guys on this one. I think I was going to pick Cleveland anyway. I don't think Cincinnati is as good as we think they are. I think Jacksonville's has some, they're kind of getting shown. I think people are starting to figure them out. I think Cleveland is, they get it done. They just seem to get it done somehow. They've been through a lot of stuff and they're getting it done. So I think Cleveland is going to take this one. I think they'll win. They don't even have to cover the points. They'll just win outright. Buffalo at Kansas City. This is going to be an interesting one right here. Buffalo is 6-6. Kansas City 8-3. Kansas City's favored by 2.5 points, over and under of 47.5. It's going to be a shootout according to this, which I don't agree with. I would probably take the under on this. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a defensive battle. Got some good coaching on both sides that they're going to utilize. But, you know, I think Buffalo is struggling and Kansas City, they're going to capitalize on that. I think I'm going to go with Kansas City here.
Okay, so we're going out of order here.
I'm ready to go. I
thought it was was it you? Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Right, yep.
You're supposed to be him. But
go ahead.
That's okay, fine. Whatever. So I was like, well. Okay, I am so happy that I am in total disagreement with you. I'm going to go with Buffalo. Like I said, they're going to be sneaky. They're going to win some games. They're going to get in the playoffs. Also, I also disagree with you that, I mean, while Buffalo isn't playing great, Kansas City is the one that's struggling a lot more right now. So I disagree with that. So give me Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm going to take Buffalo also. So here's their schedule. They're 6-6 right now. I think they've got to be 10-7 to get into the playoffs for sure. If they win 4 out of 5, they're in. I'm going to go backwards. So their last three, Chargers, they're going to win that. Patriots are going to win that. And the week 18, they play the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins will have already wrapped up the division. There's no need for them to win that game. So I think they win the last three. So now they have to win one of the next two, right? They play the Chiefs this week. They play Dallas next week. So they got to get one of those two tough matchups. But I think they do it this week against Kansas City. Sense of urgency, coming off a bye. I think they have a good game plan, well-rested. So, yeah, give me the Bills in a must-win game for them.
All right. And last, definitely not least, Philadelphia at Dallas. Philly's 10-1. Dallas 9-3, and is that right? 10-1. They're 10-2 now, right?
They've lost two games. Yeah,
10-2. Dallas 9-3. Over and under is 52.5. This is going to be a shootout. I do believe that. Dallas is favored by 3.5 points. You go first because I went first last time.
Okay, so the Dallas defense is really good. But obviously the Eagles offense is really good also. And the Philly defense is, I think, struggling a little bit. So the way Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb have been playing, then I can absolutely see this to being a shootout, because normally you would think that, like, oh no, the Dallas defense can hold them, but the Eagles have a lot of weapons. And I don't, you know, last time they met, it didn't go well for Dallas. So I think I'm going to go with the Eagles, because they're just a better team overall, you know? And this is why, like, it hurts me to put Dallas at 5 even, but, like, I guess they deserve to be there. But when they play the big boys, they can't handle it. You know what I mean? So, like, that's the wrap right now with Dallas, and we'll see if it continues.
Well, have they played? They played, right? And who won the last one?
Philly, 28-23 in Philly.
Yeah, it was close. Okay. So I, you know, I'm a big believer that a lot of the times when you play somebody twice, it comes out 1-1, and that's just bit general coaching and trying to out-coach people. I think this could go either way. I mean, they're both really good teams, but let's keep it interesting. I'll take, you know, on point Dallas here.
Yeah, this one's tough. I wish it was 2.5 and not 3.5. That kind of extra half point does make it difficult. But I do need to have another different game than LSU, I think. So give me Dallas. I think they're playing well. Again, Dak threw the ball all over them last time they played. 374 yards, 3 touchdowns. We saw San Francisco kind of put the blueprint out there on how to beat this team. I think Dallas plays better defensively this week than they did last week. So yeah, give me Dallas to cover that game, but I don't feel great about it.
And if you have Dak and CD Stack, I think you're probably winning your championship this year. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Those two are going off, and I think they will continue to do that. Let's get into it. You get your balls to the wall, balls to the wall. Balls to the wall last week. I had Josh Downs, and you know what? Brandon believed this so much, he picked him up and he played him this week. Because I said he was going to have 10 catches for 125 yards and 2 touchdowns. What did he get for you, Brandon?
1 point. I think 3 catches for 14 yards or something?
Yeah, 3 catches, 14 yards. He did not go balls to the wall. But you had Jonathan Mingo. You said he's going to have 7 catches for 97 yards and a touchdown. He had 6 catches for 69 yards. That's respectable. You know, that's pretty good.
For a guy who was, 0.5% owned, I'll take it.
And then also, you said George Pickens, he's going to get it done.
I said, if not now, when?
Pickett to Pickens in Pittsburgh, right? You said he's going to have 2 big catches for 75 yards. He had 4 for 86 yards. So that was pretty close. But you said he was going to have 2 touchdowns. He had 0.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is pitiful.
That's all right. We can make it up this week. Who's your balls to the wall for week 14? It's week 14, guys. Wow.
I think I got a good one this week, but I thought that last week. So who knows? And the rest of the season, as a matter of fact. I'm going to go with a guy who is really not getting a lot of action. He gets a couple carries here and there, nothing really to even notice. But this week, because of the matchup, I think his team is going to need him. And that is Mr. Kenneth Gainwell from the Philadelphia Eagles. They're playing Dallas, right? And Dallas is going to come out ready to play, but the Eagles' offense is also. And I think with Swift, taking that huge hit last week, they might give Gainwell a couple more goes at it this week, because it's going to be a really physical game. No matter who wins, it's going to be a really physical game. So they're going to need Mr. Gainwell. Give me 75 yards and 2 touchdowns.
All right. 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. You heard it here. Brandon?
Sure. I'm going to ride the Buffalo Bills talk that we've had going, and I'm going to take one of their pass catchers here. Stephon Diggs? No, too easy. Gabe Davis? No, too easy. Dalton Kincaid? No, too easy. We're going to their fourth option in the passing game. Give me wide receiver Khalil Shakir for 5 catches, 107 yards, and 1 touchdown. Khalil Shakir.
All right. Khalil Shakir. Pick him up. I got somebody who is 36% rostered. He's going to be a lot more rostered after this week because he may replace someone. I may pick him up myself. I don't know. We'll see. If you have Derrick Henry, you might want to pick him up. Tyjae, how do you say his name? Tyjae Spears from the Tennessee Titans. He's playing Miami, which isn't the greatest matchup, but I still think he's going to have his best week of the season, and Miami is going to give up their second most yards to a running back this season, 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. Tennessee is going to all of a sudden be better because Derrick Henry's out. It's going to be weird. I know. There you have it. Balls to the wall. Thank you for listening yet again. We'll be back next week. Check us out, thefantasyfootballfools.com, Fantasy Fools Pod on Twitter. That's all we got for you.
I can't believe we are ending the podcast before the game is over on Monday.
Yeah, it's still in overtime,
guys. It's
almost
over. It's almost over.
Well, we'll do a live presentation here.
It is over.
It is over. There we go.
Walk-off field goal, Evan McPherson, and the Bengals upset the Jaguars.
There you go. That may...
But there's a flag.
Oh, my gosh.
Probably offsides.
All right, we're out of here. Until next time, don't be a fool.
Stay in school.